The sea never sleeps. Why should I? Why should I? Because my fleshy mammal body craves it. Take away my dissolution into dreams, and I dry up. I lose my elements. But tonight, I just can't fall into it. These sleepless hours have no numbers. Get out. Get the dark around you. Imagine it. It rests. The open sea rests twice a day, high and low. The sea that cuts into land never completely rests. The force of the rivers that bind to the sea can't be stopped. But an estuary pauses. It's turning, stretched smooth on the surface of the waters like now, a calm high tide on a summer night. Go in. The sea will exhaust me, muscle and mind. My back to Scotland, my face to England. On the edge here, soft sand, bird tracks and worm casts, and the plish of water on my bed bare feet, more salt than fresh. Read the surface for danger. Go in, between heartbeats, mine and the sea's. I stretch my spine. My head goes under. Sand fills the water like dust, scours my eyes and skin. Go out, further out. Let the waters hold me. I can feel the animals of the night coming to the surface to feed. The ones who have come from faraway places, tickling. The splash of my strokes brings them to me. My shoulders open, my hips roll. I hear noises below.
Eighteen, nineteen, twenty-two, twenty-four, twenty-seven. Just gulls scabbering on the surface, just about in sight, juggling above the water, footful. Hard to count with all the splash. 28, 29. Their morning talk. Some feeding. Over there, English fells are dark, waiting for the sun to pull around. It's better down on the sands for counting birds. But my eyes need to be up here, high ground. Need to look the whole widening gash of sea. Up here with the weathering granite and the greywack, red sandstone and black shale. My eyes need the surface of the sea. They fix on it and won't let go. The blue and the vastness come right inside and weld me to it. Was it 2011 or 2013 when they stopped dumping uranium here? They started dumping depleted uranium in the early 80s. 30 years. The Ministry of Defence fired thousands of shells containing depleted uranium from these cliffs into this estuary. 31 tonnes of uranium. 6,000 or 7,000 shells, give or take, depending on how you count. They broke every law, even the ones they wrote. They lied their way out of it. They said they placed thousands of uranium weapons in the sea. They didn't dump radioactive waste. They placed it. That's the story. That's what keeps coming back to me. The military made no real attempt to bring back the shells. Not possible. Locations unknown. Those shells are lost to the riverbed sands and the tidal rolls. Those shells could be in Belfast or Liverpool or migrating up the North Channel or here, just offshore, gently lolling on the bed. They made those shells from the waste of nuclear bombs and the energy wired into every house. Penetrators designed to pierce the metal of army tanks and instantly ignite. Clouds of radiation dust would billow out from the firestorm into a desert or a city. But here, the sea has swallowed those shells whole. No fire, only the clouds of underwater dust set free by the penetrating salts of the sea and by the small, hungry animals and licking vegetation. Those firings weren't accidents or failures. No explosive release of massive radiation spread around the world. No brink of the end of humanity was gazed over. It barely made the news. This wasn't even a furtive leak. The firings were planned, bureaucratic, hand in hand with profit. Ordinary. Sanctioned. Thousands of years pissing in the sea with everything we can't digest, all the rancid debris that we could throw in there, all of it. And now this. The military got it the wrong way around. They didn't place the uranium, no. They placed this estuary. They made it into their place. They made it into their military nuclear sea. The tides come, the sands are full of life. The migrations pass over, and we humans continue to crave the sea because we are of it. And because we are strangers to it. Because it is more than we can imagine. My eyes are wet. Seawater.
I love driving this stretch, the straight coast road. Low and lulling, two lanes hugging the Solway, Allenby to Silloth. Alone in here, I can wear my own face. Every field, every wall, every grassy verge along here has a name. Family names cling like weathered posts, buried deep, like mine. Eden. Esk. Old soft names for rivers dissolving into quicksands and salty marshes. Some days I forget the sea is there. I'm full of work and lists and family. Today it's fronting up and ripping me. Don't know why. The light. The wind. It's washing up some hard things. Like charms knotted in a net. Some clink of history. A mistake, a wrong turn, or maybe I'm just not ready for the day. Put the windows down. I might hear the curlews. Finches singing in the garden this morning. Summer joy. A charm of finches. A herd of curlews. That's it. It's not my history coming in. It's theirs. The charms. They named those shells their charms. Shiny gems, long, hard and sexy. Penetrators. Nuclear light. Not a bomb, but still they got their explosive ecstasy.
They sent those rich pieces of tradable merchandise out over the miles of waiting water. In the instant that they touched the sea surface, in the instant that they splashed, they were waste. Again, waste. Nothing that comes here stays the same. To describe a bullet entering the human body, the military used the metaphor of a splash, of a diver entering the water. The bullet makes a splash in flesh, a neat one or a messy one. To describe the penetrator entering the sea, we should use the metaphor of a wound. But we're mistaken if we think it is the sea that is wounded. I'm not against the military. It's necessary. The military will always be with us. It's so welded into our lives on this coast that it's one word, civil military. The civil military nuclear complex. Like any neighbour, it likes its secrets, especially those ordered from London. Keep these firings secret from the Scots. They could make trouble. The English will be fine, already compliant, passive, needy, already fodder. But the news escapes. It always will. Like an infidelity, a lost child, a bankruptcy. We fill our hours with it, gossiping in our cold halls, steamy kitchens, sweet-smelling barns, out of earshot of incomers and tourists. Those shells aren't the story. Let them go. They're only the part of the story that can be told. The silences, they are harder. They keep us in our place. I have to stop. I have to get out. I have to smell it and hear it. I have to give this face to the sea.
The lights on the shore are gone. Or maybe I'm swimming out to sea. It's all darkness. My ears ache. I expected to hear shivering Romans, children playing the last witches to be drowned, slaves dumped overboard, the phantoms and booty and bile of 10,000 years. But there's only a cold hum. Surveillance in this radar-drenched sea. The crosshairs are inked on my back. The surface isn't enough. Go under. Not far. Just under. Bubbles rise through my hair. I don't see all those bright, happy sea creatures from the photographs. I should have brought a head torch. There are no colours, only sound and touch. And shapes that turn and vanish. Smooth ones pass over the top of me. I swim in the wake of sails and silkies. Tentacles brush my legs, wrapping me in the softness of their sucking jelly skins. They are curious about me. Me? Am I food? Can they take my bones to make their shells? Their tongues are testing me for an attachment. Drifts of something cloud my eyes. Plankton wandering in from far seas, clouds of transmission. I swim in sex and food and sea talk. Another breath and further down. Too dark to see. The detail is on my body. It's all touch here. Even the sounds are coming through my skin. Pulses calls, lullabies, the flap of lips, the shearing of steel cables, the rasp of silt on shells. One last blind dive. There's just enough time. I'm in the hands of moon and gravity and water. A sound is coming from far inland. It's pummeling the calm night like the roar of a thousand firing tanks. The tide must be turning. The animals are gone. I'm alone. I have nothing to hold on to. Hard things hit me, batter me. It's the flotsam moving out. Give my brain a different task. Calculate the direction of swim against the force of the tides. I can't do it. Let go. Sink. It will be calm when I land on the bed, on the old muds and reefs and soft wrecks, below the tides where heavy things come to rest. I have to stay awake.
Shoes off, soft red sand, oyster catchers, gulls. The swales are full, the tide is changing. It's safer here on the grassy bank. This is where we bring the kids, so they can learn the small details of love. The stone, the tiny crab, the magic things washed ashore. I want to know this sea like the half-netters do, the men who fish with their bodies, standing in the waters with their nets, reading the surface for what's coming. The slightest change and they know what's moving beneath, how the sands are shifting. Their animal bodies know how to keep them safe. How do you keep safe? The military devised tests to prove these firings were safe for humans. They measured seaweed and crabs and grit and urine. What they forgot was the sea. They forgot the turbulence, the planetary forces of gravity pulling oceans across a chiselled bed. They forgot the curiosity of the tender animal, too small for any net. They forgot that some humans are pregnant women. It's probably all right. It has to be. We have to live as if it is. The swells of silences, they hold us tight. I can't figure out the silences of the good people who say they conserve this place, who work hard to protect it, who tell us how the birds and the sea life need sanctuary. Of course they do, we all do. Why do they never, never talk about nuclear? It is as if their world of joy and bounty and endless life was severed from the spills of a nuclear industry, one that presses hard against them. What adds up? What counts on this coast is what keeps the working public paying taxes. That's what keeps things quiet. That's a harsh thought. Go gently with this. Don't trouble the house prices. Don't betray your neighbours. Calling out that silence is fine if you don't live here. We help each other when the rivers flood. We help each other when the sea crashes against our feeble walls. We practice for emergencies on these temporary shores in our silence. The sea will loosen and unravel all that we can't talk about. The words will wash up with the tides. There is only one road in and one road out of this coast. I need to get back on it. I need someone to ask me what I know.
In a storm, the sea boils. In calmer tides, life comes to the edges, waiting. Animals making their compromises with others. In conflict, in need. The surface keeps. What's below rests there. But this stuff never rests, never boils, never needs. The sea is not mine any longer, not me. But my eyes still scour the blue to remember it. How do we name the ones we can no longer keep safe? How do we name the ones who are changing the surfaces of their skins, who have lost their softness, lost their symmetries, who have burned and bleached? Those that have lost their intimacies with all other organisms. What name can we give to each of them? Each unique one. The coccolithophore? The cyphozoa? What do we add to their names? Hominis factum? Infecundus? Adversus naturalis? I don't know. These new strains of life will resist us. They will adapt. They might thrive. I have to know that the turbulent volume of this sea will find what we throw to it trivial. Keep it in proportion. Don't get sidetracked by the tantalizing whiffs of danger. For what works away on my eyes and my heart is not the proportion, not the science, but the anger. The government won't protect us. The military nuclear complex won't protect us. Live with that. Let that sink into the crowded zone down there of the unspeakable. We don't need monuments or songs to remember where something is buried. We need the burying to stop. The monument is already in the soft, salty cells of our own human bodies. The sea cannot be depleted, but we can. What do we do while this place changes us? What is it that we just can't learn? Leave these thoughts to that endless blue. I need to touch an animal. I need to feel its breath on my hand.
Body wants to float. I hold myself down and crawl across the machine shapes dumped here. I try not to crush the feathery hands that make their lives on this hardware. They're reaching out to me in the dark. They're kissing my fingertips. Billowing silt, I think it's silt, blowing past me. Keep low. Keep to the seabed. And the waves down here don't have edges. They come from all directions. My body curls and tumbles. It joins the pockmarked hard things that roll along the bed. We're a pulse of moving things. Another brush of something like dust. My skin starts to bleach with it. I'm burning down here with no light, no air. I cool my body in a garden of soft-skinned creatures. Everything moves, the living with the dead, lives within lives. Our cells are the lenses through which we see our futures. We are all transparent to the longer waters of the sea. These worlds under the surface care nothing for us. I will be exposed soon enough. I will roll and rot in the waves and wash ashore, and the air will dry me like a crispy jellyfish. I float up. The light is filtering down through the sea dust. I finally see a colour, a warm blood red under my salt-closed eyelids. I mistake it for salvation.
The sea cannot be depleted. The diver was played by Camille Marmier. The man by Vincent Friel. The woman by Lisa Howard. The composer and sound designer was Pippa Murphy. It was written and produced by Wallace Heim. The Sea Cannot Be Depleted was funded by the Futures Venture Foundation.